Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Okay, so tonight the theme of this sermon is the ruler and the cloth. Okay, it's an odd theme, but the other day someone came to me and said, I remember that sermon, The Axe and the Hammer, and that was like 3 years ago. I'm like, when I use these things, people seem to remember it. So it's the ruler and the cloth. The ruler is not like someone like ruling like a king. It's a measurement tool. All right. The ruler and the cloth. All right. So let's quickly recap last week, because it forms a part of where we are moving at this moment. Last week, we spoke about Samson and this interesting verse. If we go, there we are, Judges 16, verse 12. We see this man doing amazing things, killing a lion, killing 1,000 men with the jaw of a donkey. This man is not only strong, he's very fast. He, at one time, caught 300 foxes, tied them together by the tail and put the tails on fire. I mean, it's an incredible man. Sad thing happened. At one stage, he gave in to temptation. He told his girlfriend, Delilah, the secret to his strength, which was sustaining him, okay? After she tried to betray him two times, the third time, he tells her, okay? So he's very strong and fast, not the smartest fellow around, okay? And so basically he tells her, if you cut my hair, God's strength will depart from me. She does that. And she screams for the third time. She says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Okay, and we spoke about this last week. You can get the sermon on iTunes if you want to. What we spoke about last week is that it's very interesting that this man knew the power of God, but he never knew the presence of God. Okay, and so when God left the building, he did not know. Okay, interesting and a heartbreak story. And so what we said to one another is, let us be people who long to be with God and not only look for signs of his power and walk past him in the process. Are you with me? Awesome. That's a recap for last week. This is what we said at the end. We said, let's value his presence in our lives more than stuff he can do for us or through us. Sorry for the typo there. Not more that, more than. So tonight what I want to do is I quickly want to touch on something, because we're busy with the heart here. We're busy with understanding, being face to face with God. And I want to move the conversation a little bit towards people, the community, and trust the Holy Spirit to drop the truth in our heart in the way it should be. Now, what we all see in the Bible is that biblical truths are always in tension with one another or in traction. Okay, just the 4x4 lovers will know what I'm about to say. Who does the 4x4 thing? Vaisubiki. Guillermo. So, for example, you'll hear in the Bible that we should encourage one another. Who's read something like that before? Build one another up. Who's read somewhere in Scripture that we should correct one another? Also true. So, which one is true? Both. So the interesting about this, if I want to fight with you and you say, and Hannah says, you know what, we must encourage one another, then I can say, but remember, we must also correct one another. And then he can say, but we must also encourage, and so it can carry on. Okay. We can say, for instance, God is love. Would that be true? 100%. Does God have wrath? Does he punish sin? Okay, so Hannah can say, you know what, Van, I feel our church should have more of the love of God. Then I say, but what about the wrath of God? We should sort this sin out. And he says, but what about the love of God? And so we see these things where if people are not in unity and heart, they can always fight about something. Did you know that? They can always fight. And church committees, they're good at fighting, okay? Now, it's not that God is 90% loving and 10% full of wrath. No, he's got love 100% down, and 100% of the time he knows when to deal with sin. 100% each. But when the truths that seems like they have tension work together, we move forward. Okay, if we have a friendship and I encourage you, you feel built up. If you get it wrong and I say, yeah, Hanu, I think you must check this area in your life. Now, I'm not encouraging you. Please consider repenting about that. And he takes it, he goes forward. Both is important. When these truths looks like they're in contrast, they're not. And so tonight we're going to walk one of those lines. And the only way we can get to the heart of it is with the Holy Spirit. There's no other way. Because we can always say, but this, but this, but this. When the Spirit comes and drops the truth in our heart, that's when we get it right. And that's why we're here worshiping God before we start. Lord, deal with our hearts first. Deal with us. We want to be face to face. Now all these things comes into line. To get to the heart of things, in your home, if you fight about something small, stop the fight. Get behind it. What's the heart? Now, you know what? I'm actually worried about our finances. That's why I'm fighting with you. We need to get to the heart of stuff. Are you with me? Okay, let's go on. Okay, let's have some fun. Who's this man? Who knows who this man is? Any takers? Come, Germo. Who wants to take a guess? Guys from Orange County Chopper. What's that? Todd Bentley. It's his name. I'm going to have a few faces on. My heart is not to break down a man. We're making a point here. Okay, hold on. Who knows who this man is? Sema? Mark Driscoll. Cool. Now, if you know who the next man is, you are exceptional. Can we get to the next one? Yeah, sorry, I didn't play fair there, but we're going to mention him as well. These men, they don't necessarily have three things in common, but their story teaches us the same thing, and that's what we're going to venture on tonight. Okay, first man, let's start again. Todd Bentley was a key figure of the Lakeland Revival. The Lakeland Revival was known for the outbreak of a lot of miracles, okay? The charismatic world were shocked by the extent of the miracles, so much more those of traditional faith. I mean, incredible things. People really got healed. But there's a problem. The man who was in charge of this had some unorthodox ways. He would kick people at times and they would get healed, believe it or not. Was it God's way? I don't know. That's not the discussion tonight. The problem is this. The one night many people came to Christ and people start talking about it. And the one person said, what, that man with a bald head? I saw him in the pub. He's a drunk. And so the man had double standards. He ministered, but he had an addiction to alcoholism, to alcohol. Okay, divorced his wife for his secretary, 2008. Everything gained by the revival, gua, to the floor. And who's the bad guy? The Holy Spirit. And people started to write books like Charismatic Chaos and stuff like that. We should not allow the Holy Spirit because this is the stuff that happens. Because one man who was exceptionally gifted fell away and everything fell to the floor. Sad story. Left his wife with a few, with his daughters. Okay. Number two, Mark Driscoll planted Mars Hill Church in Seattle. This is an unchurched area, okay, where a lot of people, a lot of young people did not worship God, and a lot of people came to Jesus under this guy's ministry. Very unorthodox. He used to dress like a hippie, had weird stuff he said, and it drew a lot of people, okay. What happened is that he got placed under discipline and chased away by his elders because he was no longer teachable. He would not listen to them. And sometimes they would say, the way you come across is harsh. And it was almost his way to get people to listen. And he walked away. Moss Hill Church, I think there was about 12 or 13,000 people, closed down, gone. In the heart of Seattle, where there needs to be a church, gone. When one man left, some of you know where I'm going with this. This guy's back in ministry, he's doing amazing work. I think he needed counsel, he took it, he's back, he planted church again. You can actually follow him, he's a great guy. Sad story, and it wasn't long ago, it's 2000, about 4 years ago, I think that this whole story happened. This guy is called William Miller. Rings a bell, someone? The founder, or the guy that set in motion the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He's known for an event called the Great Disappointment. He said the world would end 1844, October 22. October 22nd, 1844, he said the world will end. He had a lot of followers. What did they do? They prepared accordingly. Must be a charismatic guy. Okay? People sold what they had. Their possessions, went on the street, Jesus is coming. What happened? Crick, crick, nothing. Scripture says, no one will know. Why do we forget that? People shocked. A lot of people followed this man. Instead of saying, we were wrong. They said, no, we were right. He just came in a different way. And the Seventh-day Adventist Church started with a lot of spin-off beliefs. What happened to the church? Christians, they got abused. They got mocked. People said, don't go to church. Are you crazy? After this, there was a thing. It created chaos. I'm giving you guys some history and then we're going to land this. There was a doctrine that people believed, which was not true, which was called the closed or the shut door doctrine. It's not on there. The shut door doctrine. What they said, if you do not know Jesus, did not know him before that date, you'll never go to heaven because he came. And they didn't see him. So they made up something. Shocked the world. People went up, what about my kid? What about me? Is there no more time for repentance? Devastating because of one man who ordered the end of the world. Let's go to the Bible, see if we can see the same pattern. We're going to Judges chapter 2 verse 5. It'll be on the screen. Let's go verse by verse. We're doing about 10 verses. And the people served the Lord all the days after Joshua. So what happened, God's people are in the promised land. God says, don't serve other gods. And this is where we are. Joshua is the leader. And all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, because the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work that the Lord had done. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age 110. And they buried him within the boundaries of his inheritance, Timnah-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gosh. If you want to go look, that's probably why they give the coordinates. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. And they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they went after other gods. So we had three examples of crazy men. Not crazy men, sorry. Mark Driscoll by no means is crazy, and there's hope for Todd Miller. What we see with Joshua is a great leader. He gets it together. But even with him, after he passes away, the people turn away from God. What are we seeing here? Next verse, Judges 2:18. Whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, so the leaders in those times were called judges. They were not in court, okay? A judge, like in the book of Judges, was a charismatic leader that God used to bring forth his will. Samson was one, okay? Whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge. Check it out. He saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of a judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who afflicted and oppressed them. But whenever the judge died, they turned back and were more corrupt than their fathers, going after other gods. What is the pattern we're seeing there? Whenever the people place their faith and their hope in a man, they would fail. Whether the man was a great man of God, like Joshua, Moses couldn't even go up the mountain for afternoon, comes back, there's a golden calf. It's crazy. When Moses are there, the people, they're worshiping God. When Moses are gone, and then they tell him, the calf just came out of a fire. True story. Bible is incredible. Should be a lot more movies about the Bible. It'll be cracking. So Jesus dies. Church starts well with the apostles. Along came the Roman Catholics. What do? Geniuses. Puts a priest between the people and God. If you sin, go speak to the priest. If you sin, go pay money to the priest. And they bring back the very thing that Scripture tells us not to do when God is jealous for you face to face. That was the biggest sin of the Roman Catholic Church, putting a man between God's people and God. And if we don't watch out, we'll do the same. Are you with me today? What would Joshua say? Let's just look at what he said. He said, if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, my house, we will serve God, come hell or high water. Nothing will turn our faces from God. If only the people believed like he believed. Putting a stake in the ground, and we will not forsake God. What would David say? David said, you have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. I don't care what other people do. Here I am, face to face with you. I long for you. I want you. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. Keep my eyes on the Lord. Not on William. Or on Mark Driscoll, I keep my eyes on the Lord with him at my right hand. I will not be shaken. How easily thousands of people were shaken the day when Jesus did not return. Jehovah's Witnesses, listen to this. A man goes up the mountain to speak to God. He comes down, he says, the Spirit spoke to me. Jesus is only an archangel. In fact, he's the archangel Michael. People say, whoa, amazing, let's start a church. Turn their face away from the word of God and God into the hands of a man. Crazy. We do the same. We do the same in big ways or in small ways. And today we're going to go into our hearts very deep. Before it gets to this, we're going to look at the one or two things that reveals whether this is in our heart. But let's make the first point for the evening. We only have two. You can fly that. You cannot build your faith on another human. Sounds like the most basic thing in the world, but remembering the examples we just had, it kind of makes sense. You cannot build your faith on me or Hanu or Carl or any pastor in this town. It would be the most foolish thing you can do. So let's do the argument of traction. So people would say, exactly. That's why I don't go to church. I like Pastor Werner. He gets people out of churches where I like it. Great word, Pastor. Don't leave. Okay. Oh, How often do we hear this? We listen to church on the radio. Okay. We had enough of this nonsense. Mark Driscoll, William Miller. We had enough of the stuff that's going on in church. We're out of here. At this stage, it actually sounds like a good argument. Are you with me? What is attention here? What's attraction that's going to take us forward? Let's quickly go to Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, I'm just going to throw a few scriptures out there. I'm the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say to you. But Moses said, Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. How will Pharaoh listen to me? The Lord said, Moses, see, I have made you like a god to Pharaoh, which means you're going to speak to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. Moses and Aaron. I'm not going to stay there long. Let's go on. Paul writes, he says, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark. Mark was here. Was here only in his tweeer. Get Mark and bring him with you. He is very useful to me for ministry. Paul also said, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you're doing. Why did I put that? It must be an important verse. As each have received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Okay. You cannot build your faith on another human. We agree on that. Let's reveal the second point, then we go from there. Number two, you cannot build your faith without another human. You cannot build your faith on another human. You cannot build your faith without another human. There's no way. Both truths exist, and the difference and the tension between these two is on and with. This is what takes the 4x4 forward. You go out of this place and try and do it alone, you're stuck, you're just idling. You in church and you worship through your pastor or whatever, and you don't have your own face-to-face, you're only idling. It's once you get both, God, only you, you're my one and only with these people. You go, how does this work? It was revealed in the heart of the Israelites that they actually looked to Joshua, not God. Are you with me? Saw it with Moses. We saw it in Seattle, Mark Driscoll's church. Now, let's look deeper in our hearts and let's see what you find in your own heart. Okay, now, I want you to look deep within your heart, because you can see this thing of building your faith on another person before calamity hits, but you're going to have to be open and look deep. Can you quickly give me that? Okay, there's your ruler. If you come to church or to small group, okay, and you find yourself even remotely, okay, be honest with yourself so that you can go forward tonight, even remotely coming to church and doing this, worship team, snacks, do I need a donut at least. It's this, you know. Pastor, if there's a little bit of this in your heart, watch out for number one. Because you're looking for him. You are looking for a man to build a little bit of your faith on. You know, in the small group I was, before I visited Cole's one, we used to speak and memorize the Greek words. These guys don't even do it. In other words, I'm not going to that small group. You see where that is going? Now, don't wait for calamity to hit. Don't wait for your heart to be broken. Go in. Find it there before it spreads. You will be disappointed. the day of disappointment will come. When you will realize your pastor is feet of clay. That you realize quickly in this church. You realize the community will fail you. It can work both ways. You come into the church, you used to be a worship leader in Brakpan, you can your story. Okay? Now you're coming. And Carl is on stage, or Carla, whoever, and you're like, both ways shows that you are stuck with number one. Number one, not up to my standard. Next church. You're not looking even for the presence of God in the church. You're measuring. Where's your heart? Number one. On the other side, you measure. You're like, wow, this guy's a lot better than me. I should come to this church so that I can learn from him. Look, there's some place in being discipled. You can't do it without other humans, but we're now busy with number one. You can also be drawn to someone with number one in your heart. You can look at another person, you can say, oh, praise God, I'm not as much as a sinner as they. Watch out for number one. You can look at another person and you can say, man, that person, watch out for this. This looks very bad. It looks very just. You look at a person in this church and you see how well they are doing and you measure and your heart goes into despair. You say, I will never be as humble as Cole. That's a fact. And everyone says, amen. I'm just playing with you, Cole. I'm just playing. I know you hate that. I'm just playing with you. Even if you look and you measure another person, you say, I'm so far off. You're aiming at number one. Because God wants you face to face, not in a race with another man. You have enough of a race with your own sin. Okay? That's your item. Okay? Don't try and run against other people. Here's the thing. Build it on God. Just build it on Him. He's busy with you. Sometimes it takes a long time for God to move quickly in your life. Some people move systematically, week by week by week. Some people sit around and God is busy, boom, and they go, that's not our business. What is your business? Come into the presence of God, worship Him, give Him your heart, let Him grow you. Love the person next to you, don't measure them. Are you with me? How often do you find yourself with a ruler? Watch out. Now, what about number two? Okay, what's the story there? I've got a prop. I don't normally do props. I've got two tonight. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, we can only build on Him. We can only build on our Lord and Savior. Don't let that go. You also ought to wash one another's feet. So if we are not to measure the whole time, what are we then to do? This is what we do. Can you quickly go sit on the stage, Hanu and Brown and Peter? So if we don't come to church with this, not here to measure, then why are we here? So we get number one down. We say, God, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. Can we just go back one slide, please? I'm building my faith on you. So why come to church? This is why. You get that? This is what God wants each and every one of us to do here. Why? Because when we do this, God is magnified, and more people can build their faith on Him. So if we can have a church, each one quickly grab one. Well, before, do you guys quickly want to stand up? Just come and stand here next to one another. If we can have this in church, We go to the next verse. This is my last verse. We're wrapping up. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God. Just look up, you guys. Just look up. Okay. They lifted their voices to God, but how did they do it? They did it together. Okay. When they heard it, they lifted. And each one's supposed to carry one of these. And this guy comes in, does not understand what's going on here. And so it moves his heart to lay this thing down. Okay? You guys can take a seat. What is God saying to us in this moment? Last week, we are here to seek His face. We are supposed to seek His face. Come past all this stuff, face to face. And then, build our faith, brick by brick, on Him. While standing side to side with a cloth in our hands, ready to serve. Ready to help. So the man with a cloth, he goes to a small group. It's his first time. He's like, oh, it's going to be so awesome. He gets to a small group. And it is a struggling small group. People, there's a rough on the edges. The small group is rough, to say the least. And there you arrive. What does he say? This guy says, I get the call out. And now he's gone. This guy arrives and he says, it's not what I expected, but now I know why I am here. And in the spirit, he starts, Lord, I want to pray for this small group. My small group. I lift them up to you. Each one of them, and they gets their names and starts to pray for them. Cover their weakness. Because you see, his faith and how he feels about God is not based on that group of people now. It's based on God. And so he comes with a cloth. So tonight, even if you don't know how this looks in your life, you're not sure, lay down this, even in prayer. Lord, I lay down the ruler, and from now on you'll know what that means. I lay down my measuring tool and take up a cloth to wash the feet of my brother and sister in this town. See your kingdom come. Amen. Let's stand up tonight.